T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Let's go to the Western Hotline. We're joined by Sam Cosentino. Sam is an NHL draft analyst. You can read his work at the fine Sportsnet website, sportsnet.ca. And he's joining us right now. Sam, it's Howard and Brayton. How you doing? So listen, we might have a few first-round picks coming the Sabres' way this year. Good to have you on the show today.
Yeah, great to be on. I mean, the never-ending drama that is Jack Eichel just continues to keep you guys busy over there for sure. So
It's funny. I could ask you about, you know, getting like a top, you know, maybe a second overall pick in the draft, but they'll just trade him 5 years from now anyway. Let's get into generalities and then you can give us some names in all seriousness. Sorry, Sam. What has been, the draft this year and evaluating it, you've never experienced anything like this. What's it been like trying to figure out who's good enough to project in a year like this when some of them haven't even been playing?
Yeah, it sucks, to be honest with you. It's mostly video work. My company wouldn't allow me to travel due to safety reasons to go to Texas, so I watched all those games online or whatever was available on NHL Network here. So that was challenging. And then the OHL didn't play, which is where I live, and being able to see games there was an impossibility. Travel to Quebec was extremely difficult. I suppose I could have gone out west for a little while, but the crop out in the Western Hockey League isn't particularly strong this year. So it's been extremely challenging to evaluate. Now, having said all that, NHL teams have plenty of resources, some of which are based in the United States. So they were able to see the USHL. They were able to see NCAA hockey. You know, a good chunk of scouts from each team went to the under-18s in Texas. And then, of course, you have your scouts that are based over in Europe. So you're still able to get, enough live viewings. But the more the merrier, and the more intense the situation, the more pressure the situation provides, gives you a better forum in which to evaluate. And a lot of those pressure situations, be it tournaments, you know, playoffs, Memorial Cup, those sorts of things weren't necessarily available. So it's been a challenging, challenging year for sure.
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know, the NFL went through this a little bit too, Sam, because not every league played, you know, the lower levels played in after the first of the year. Not every team played a full schedule. But they could say, all right, well, I didn't play as a senior, but I'll watch his junior tape. Or if he's skipped out, and I'll go back and watch his sophomore tape. We're still talking about 20-plus-year-old kids. With hockey, you're going back and watching, I don't know, what are you watching, 16-year-old season?
Well, that's just it. And it's interesting, Howard, because you know, there are some teams, and I'd say maybe a third of them, that actually scout the underage year, and some even the double underage year, so at 15- and 16-year-olds. And those teams obviously will have a leg up for this draft. But still, at that age, so much can change over the course of 1 year, and especially in a time where a lot of guys weren't on the ice for a significant amount of time. So what are they doing? Nutrition, working out, trying to get stronger. They're working on shooting, right? That's something that you can do without the ice. And then when on the ice, you're very specific in terms of your skills, your skating, your stride. So you would see marked gains in players from this year because of all the time off, yet your greatest evaluation tool is their ability to play in games. So it's really been kind of all over the map in terms of trying to figure all of that stuff out and put it into the pot and see what you come out with.
We're with Sam Cosentino from Sportsnet.ca. Okay, let's say the Sabres win the lottery and they have the number one overall pick. Is there a clear-cut, easy-to-define number one overall pick?
No, I don't believe that to be the case this year. I believe there's probably three or four defensemen that could very well be in that spot. And there's probably, well, one, maybe two forwards that would be in that spot. But I would be pretty safe to say that, you know, a defenseman is going to be the area in which you go. Because I look at Owen Power, 6'6", 215 pounds, plays at the University of Michigan. Simon Evanson, the 6'4", 200-pounder, who was really good, especially in the latter stages of the under-18 tournament for Sweden. You've got Luke Hughes, who's the third edition after Jack and Quinn Hughes, who's also a defenseman. You got Brant Clark. So you're going to have a lot of options defensively. So I think that's the way you have to go in this draft. But I couldn't clear-cut a name. My number one, my rankings come out on Wednesday, is going to be Owen Power. That will be for the second consecutive month because I think six guys that are 215 pounds. If you look across the league, traditionally those players have longevity. They eat lots of minutes. They don't get hurt because they tend to be bigger and stronger than everyone else. Yet this guy's a really, really good skater, a mobile, athletic guy. Maybe lacks a little bit of bite in his game, but a really, really good player. So right now he'd be my guy, and I would suspect that would be the case moving forward to when we get to the draft in July.
Sam, there's been talk about this draft class being one of those rare draft classes where you look at the crop of talent near the top, and you could say that, well, there's not really a prospect here that no matter where you draft them, they're going to be ready to enter the league day one. Do you agree with that sentiment, or do you believe that there's maybe one or two players that have that possibility to be able to jump onto the ice of an NHL team from the first game of the 2021-22 season?
You know, it's really funny how that works out, because if you go back and you look at the first overall pick traditionally, they don't ever go back to where they were. They play in the NHL. That's just a fact. Now, is that pressure because, hey, you had the number one pick and you have to get the guy in the league? Is it because you've picked so high, obviously your team's in need of that kind of talent and you need to input that talent into your lineup right away? Or is it simply a PR thing and you're worried about your fans? Hey, where the hell's our number one pick that we that we just drafted? So When I look at this group of players, the way I would define it, Brandon, is I'd say this. I love my top 10, and for sure you're probably looking at five defensemen in there that I think are top-pairing guys. Okay, after that, I'd be happy to trade away the pick to try and defer it to 2022 or 23, or I would be happy maybe to get a few more picks later in the draft. So let's say my prerequisite would be second for sure, and a couple of thirds. But having said that, and a lot of the scouts that I've talked to, they feel that the pick is devalued this year because of the uncertainty and the inability to see players live as much as they usually do. So when it comes to that, you know, there's going to be some teams that are going to be saying, oh yeah, we're going to want extra picks because we think we can hit some home runs. But I think for the most part, the majority of teams are saying, you know what, we don't really value this 2021 first-round pick like we have in other years. And Toronto is, you know, in my market, that's a great example. They have six picks in each of the next 2 years. One first in 2023, and they have their second in 22 and second in 23. So they're saying, forget it. We're just going to wait. We'll get back into the draft game when we have more certainty about the players. And you're talking about a team that has a ton of resources, guys in Europe, guys in the States, all over the place, huge scouting staff. And yet they still feel that they're happy to defer. And that would be my strategy as well.
Sam Costantino from Sportsnet, their NHL draft analyst, joining us on the Western Hotline. Sam, real quickly, I want to ask you about the forward group. With the uncertainty going forward with a Jack Eichel and a Sam Reinhart, maybe some of the other forward players that are here in Buffalo. I know that they just drafted Jack Quinn last year and Dylan Cousins the year before that. But go real quickly, who at the top of the forward group should be somebody that you should be paying attention to heading into this year's draft coming up in late July?
Dylan Gunther is a right-shot left winger, who plays for the Edmonton Oil Kings. Really good rookie of the year, the WHL rookie of the year last year. Played on Canada's top line at the under-18s. Really light on his feet, excellent skater. The next guy would probably be Kent Johnson. He plays at the University of Michigan. He's the highlight reel type guy who's not afraid to do anything. He'll do spins, lacrosse moves, it doesn't really matter. Another guy who marries really good skill with really good will, Matthew Beniers, also of the University of Michigan. He's that all-around guy that you can put on in any situation. As an underage player, played for the U.S. in the final minute of the games, protecting leads. He's the guy that I really like that has that great combination of of unbelievable work ethic and will, yet has enough skill to be able to produce. William Eklund would be the fourth guy in that group. He's a guy that when you look at all the great Swedish prospects this year, he's the guy who's been able to maintain time in the SHL more than anyone else and produce. All of the other Swedish prospects bounce up and down between the U-20s, the Allsvenskan, which is the second league there, and the SHL, and couldn't maintain time at the big pro league. William Eklund did. It might be the most improved player in all of Sweden. There's been a little success in terms of history with Sweden with the Sabres in recent history. So those would be four names I'd be looking at for the forward group.
You can read Sam's work on the draft and his you're coming out this week with the new rankings?
Yeah, it'll be at Wednesday afternoon on sportsnet.ca for the latest May rankings after the completion of the U18s. Okay, guys?
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Anytime. My pleasure. Take care.